One. We're glad to have all of you that are visiting with us today. We want you to come back and be with us at every opportunity that you have. It's a joy to be able to worship the Lord, spirit and in truth, John 4, 23 and 24. And it sure is a joy to see all of you today, that we can study and learn more of God's precious truth. To the Baker family, as it's already been expressed, we surely extend our sympathy, and we're reminded that matters not how young, middle-aged, or old you are. Death is an appointment that we shall all meet. 101 years of age. Bless her heart. And we're surely thankful that she was a child of God and that she could go and be with the Lord. I want to study with you from James chapter 5, verses 19 and 20 this morning. When we look at these two passages, they deal with us as brethren. And James tells us in James chapter 5 and verses 19 and verse 20, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, what? A brother erring from the truth, leaving the word of God, may it never be. But if you err from the truth, and then there is one that converts you, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the ever's way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Saving souls. What a joy that is. Seeing and hearing about people who love the Lord, who are added to the kingdom of God as a result of their obedience to the gospel. And these brethren and sisters in Jesus Christ are getting ready to make their exit from this old world. And guess what? They're going to a place where in a permanent condition they're going to be forever. Whether it be a place of eternal joy and happiness, and whether it be a place of eternal loss. And so James is thinking about saving souls. You've saved a soul. If one of your brethren is erred from the truth, and then you're able to show him back, bring him back to the truth. What a joy that is. Hides a multitude of sins. Saves a person from the... And that's exactly what God wants. In Ezekiel 18, verse 20, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. We got to get to that soul. We got to do everything we can to get that soul to turn away from sin. The Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father, neither shall the Father bear the iniquity of the Son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. And we're doing something to do what? To save somebody's soul. Remember in Ezekiel 3, verse 18, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, God says it, then it shall be. Unless there is something done to bring back that sinner from the error of his way. And thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life. The same wicked man shall die and it is his iniquity. But, guess what? His blood shall be required at thine hand. Why? Because you didn't warn him. You saw him in sin. You knew his laws. You needed to do something. You didn't do it. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. You've done what you could. And the individual's made that decision. And it is he will have to live with his decision. And notice in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16, very interesting passage. Paul is talking to the young evangelist. And here's what he says to him. Take heed unto yourself. You got to look at yourself. We who preach. We got to examine ourselves. We got to be right with God. We got to be preaching for the right motive. For the right reason. We got to love people. We got to do everything we possibly can to impart God's precious truth. To get that soul that is lost to come to the Lord. But, Paul said to Timothy, the young evangelist, take heed unto yourself. And unto the doctrine, and continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Two things. That means you'll be saved. If you do what? Take heed to yourself. If you take heed to the doctrine that you're proclaiming, save yourselves. And you can save those who indeed are lost. You know, the family of God is the church. You're my brothers and you're my sisters. We all have different environments that we've been in life. Yet in the kingdom of God, we're all just one. Matters not whether you're an elder, deacon, preacher, whatever. We're all just simply brothers and sisters. We are in a family. We're in that family of God that Paul speaks of in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15, that thou mayest know how to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. And if one of my brothers or one of my sisters in my family, in God's family that I'm a part of, if that individual's lost, needs to be restored, I need to do everything in my power to get him back to the Lord. That's why when John wrote unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, he said, write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden sticks. I know your works, and I know your labor and your patience, and how that thou canst not bear them which are evil. Thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. You've done so well in so many things, but something's missing. The church is put on guard with regards to it. Nevertheless, God said, I do have something against you. And because you have left your first love. You were so zealous. Look what all they had done. What is he doing now? They're weak. They have left their first love. Is that a serious thing? Oh, yes. Why aren't we more busy trying to convert? Bring back those of our brothers and sisters in Christ that are lost, who need to be right here in these pews. Who's going to do it? Well, preacher, you do it. I've got the responsibility to preach. Try to do everything I can. Elders, you do it. Elders have that responsibility overseeing the flock, being recognizable concerning the fact that there are those that are lost, loving that soul, doing everything. Deacons, they have that responsibility. But every Christian has that responsibility. This is our brother. This is our sister. Where? In the kingdom of God. And the church here is told, you do something. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen. It's your responsibility. Everybody's responsibility. And repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee and remove thy candle. I looked up all these different passages. I thought it might be interesting for us to think about how God looks upon those who are His children that now have gone back into the world, that no longer goes to church services, not interested in the Lord, not trying to live right anymore. They've given up. Oh, I mean, that hurts you. It hurts you because if your father, one who is not faithful to the Lord, you want that person to be faithful. God speaks of, and here's some things. Think about it. As a sinner. James 5, 19 and 20. Like a sow that was washed to return and wallowing in the mire. 2 Peter 2, 20 through 22. Like a dog turning to his own vomit and 2 Peter 2, 20 through 22. As a reprobate. When he tells us to examine ourselves. And then in chapter 15, I found some very interesting information. As a sheep that's lost. As a coin that was lost. As a son that was lost. As an elder son who's outside wouldn't come in, therefore lost. I want to think about those four with you for a moment. First of all, is a lost sheep. So much is said in the Bible about Jesus being our great shepherd, the shepherd of the sheep. He loves everyone. And notice that the Bible speaks of the 99. And then there's one that's missing, just one. What does the shepherd do? The shepherd gets out there and does everything he possibly can to bring that one sheep back into the fold. Find him. Bring him back. Why is he gone? Well, he might have become attracted to this old world. I don't know how many people you know of in our congregation that no longer are in the fellowship of the saints here. Why? They don't even come. You talk to them about their souls, they're not interested. What have they become? They've become attracted to this world. And yet God says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes of the pride, it passes away. It's gone. Let's guess what? People who leave the Lord because they're attracted to the world are attracted to something that's going to pass away. He could have become discouraged by the pressure of trials. He may have had so many that he didn't even share with any of us. And as a result of it, no longer goes to O'Neill. He doesn't go anywhere. He is out in the world. But who's going to bring him back? Somebody says, well, he'll have to pay for his own sins, yes. But what about us? Have I? Have you? Have we done everything we can to get him back to the Lord? He may have been deceived by the craftiness of men or by the devil. But he's lost. He's one of the sheep. The 99 need 100. Because that one sheep is loved by the Lord. You ever had a coin you missed? It came up missing? Especially a silver dollar, maybe dated in 1886, a valuable coin, and for somehow you just lost that coin. What are you going to do about that coin? Well, the Lord has something to say about that. In Luke chapter 15, verses 8 through 10, there was a woman who lost a coin. And what did she do? Boy, she got busy. She was brushing here and brushing there. She is doing everything she possibly can to find that coin. Who wouldn't do that? A valuable coin worth maybe thousands of dollars. It's missing. You need to do what? You need to find it. And what does she do when she finally finds it? She calls her friends and everybody rejoices. Why? The coin that was lost. Look, here it is. It's back. Do we act like that when we hear about our brother, our sister in the Lord, who no longer comes to be with us, who no longer even fellowships with the saints of God anywhere? They're lost. Why? If you thought about the coin that's been the church and how that it's so important. In the Old Testament, Numbers 18, verse 16, it's real interesting that a silver coin was used to redeem the firstborn children of Israel. So the silver coin speaks of a redeemed child, once saved but now he's lost. And the church, we got to do everything we possibly can to find him and get him back. Did I preach or did you? Did we teach and show this brother, the right way? You remember in Genesis 4 and verse 9, the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? Well, the obvious answer is we are. I don't care who it is that's lost. If they're one of my brethren, one of my sisters, I need to do everything I can, and you do, and everybody. We even need to pray for them. We need to talk to God about them. In the church, every one of us has a responsibility. Keep our brothers and sisters from falling. We need each other. This is God's family. The woman that was careless, she lost something valuable. But what did she do? She got busy seeking, seeking, seeking. And when she found it, she could bring her friends in and rejoice. So can we. Thirdly, there's the younger son, the prodigal. He's at home, but he's not satisfied. He's with his father, but he doesn't want to be with his father. He's in this home family. He doesn't want to be there. The son demonstrates the spirit of independence and rebellion. He wants to launch out on his own. He's going to seek his way. I'm not happy here. He loved money, rebelled against his father, and finally he left home. That's a sad thing, isn't it? When a child comes to you and says, I'm leaving home. Or when the child of ours comes to us and says, I'm quitting the church. I'm not going to go. It's boring. Why? You mean doing the will of the Lord is boring? You mean doing what God wants you to do is something that you're not wanting to do? Yes, there are some that arrive at that in life. Here's a believer that wants to get everything he can from God and everybody else, and then he's ready to leave. The picture of a believer doesn't want discipline or having to subject to proper authority. That's all we hear is preach, preach, preach on the authority of Jesus Christ. That's all preachers and teachers and elders and all the members of the Church of Christ, all they do is tell you that you ought to do this or you ought not do the other. Well, what else is there to do? Aren't we all bound by the authority of Jesus Christ? Jesus said, I have all authority. What did He tell us to do? Everything you do, do in My authority. By My authority. So this boy leaves his father. He leaves his family. He leaves his home. Yep, he leaves even his hometown. My friend, there are a lot that used to be at O'Neill that have done that. They're out in the world. They're sowing their oats, so to speak. What are we doing about it? Are we praying for them? Are we talking to them? Are we doing everything we can to get them back? Does it take their landing with the pigs as this young boy did before they come to their senses? It took it for him. He finally had to say when he had nothing. Can you imagine being out in this old world? Can you imagine saying, I'm leaving the United States of America. I'm going to another country. That's where people are free. That's where I want to be. I'm going to join up with ISIS. I'm going to do this. And how many have left the freedom they've had at home? How many finally come to almost have nothing? But the memory of somebody somewhere praying for you, the memory of those people over there, O'Neill, who when they go to God in prayer, they call your name. Oh Lord, help him. Help her to come back home. A father that loves his children, even though they've gone away from home, won't ever cease to pray. And he wants everybody else to pray for that child. Yes, this boy had to come back to his senses. Once he did, he arose and he said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go home. Boy, wouldn't that be something. Can you imagine a father that's been praying for a wayward son or a daughter that's out in the world, and you pray and you pray and you're telling everybody else, pray for them, and then you get a text. You get an email. and said, Dad, Mom, I want to come home. What do? You almost jump through that text or that email. I want to tell you, I love you. Come home. Come home now. Let me know you're all right. And just come home. A son that was called the prodigal left all he had. And he had nothing left at the end except making up his mind as he remembered where his home was and came back home. What a wonderful thought. What about this elder brother? This elder brother that, he's still been at home, but guess what? When he hears about his father having made a feast for his boy that was lost, now is saved, the boy that was dead, now is alive, he's come back. What does he do? Remember we preached a sermon last week on being bitter? How many people are bitter because somebody else is doing better or doing right now? This boy was bitter. This boy said, I'm not coming in. I look what all I've done. He's proud, self-righteous, and he feels like he's lived a better life than that old fella who his brother, who got his money and spent it on righteous living. Two men went into the temple to pray. The one was a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank Thee that I am not as other men are. Don't ever be that way. Be thankful you're not, but don't express it. And he says, I'm not an extortioner, good, unjust, adulterous even. But I'm not like this old man over here that is a terrible sinner. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. The publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but he smote upon his breast, saying, God, I'm the sinner. Be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus said, I tell you, and he's speaking, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Boy, self-righteousness, this man was eaten up with it. Instead of humbly acknowledging and saying he was so thankful that he was still home, he could be in his father's house, enjoy all of his blessings, he was saying, yeah, I'm not like this other man. Stay in the fellowship of God's people and it'll help you. If you become a little discouraged lately, talk to God about it and talk to someone that you have a lot of confidence in. Let them know how you really feel. That's why God designed worshiping. He says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves as the manner some is, but exhorting one. There's the answer. Exhorting, encouraging, lifting each other up. Yes, Christians examine themselves all the time, don't we? In 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, Paul said, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Know ye not that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates? And you know what Christians will do? When they have spoken a word that's not right, when they've engaged in a deed that was not right, the slightest the Christian will say, I acknowledge my sin. James says, confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We repent. We say we're sorry. And we are. The lost in Luke chapter 15. Four occasions. You've got to have that attitude of seeking to bring them back to the Lord. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death. You can read it in the message. You can read it in the NIV, American Standard Version, the Living Bible. It all describes one who needs to be restored. How many times have you moved? This is nowhere near as many times as we moved. But I can remember when I went to college, we lived at 919 Marengo Lane. While we were there, we also lived at 4701 Belmont Park Terrace, if my memory is right. Moved to Huntsville, Shelbyville, and now here we are. Moving. Ann said one time to me, she said, "Do we have to move again?" And many times you do. I want to ask you something. We're going to make another move, all of us. It's going to be to a permanent place. You'll have your permanent address. I'll have mine. Yes, my friends, what will your permanent address be after the judgment of God? I believe that we don't have to change friends, and we understand that friends change. Someone says, "I believe no matter how good a friend is, they're going to hurt you every once in a while, and you must forgive them for that." I believe that true friendship continues to grow even over the longest distance, and same goes for true love. I believe that you can do something in an instant that will give you heartaches for life. I believe that it's taken me a long time to become the person that I want to be. I believe that you always leave loved ones with loving words. It may be the very last time you see them in this life. I believe that you can keep going long after you say you can't. I believe that we're responsible for what we do, no matter how we feel. And I believe that either you control your attitude or it will control you. And I believe you make the decision where you will live in eternity. Will it be heaven or will it be hell? Heaven can be entered only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad. Its gate is wide enough for all the multitudes who choose its easy way. But the gateway to life is small and the road is narrow, and there's only a few that can ever find it. We want to be there. We want to be among that few. Will that few mean you? If you're not a Christian this morning, the first thing you need to do is to recognize your need for Jesus Christ. He is our Lord and our Savior, and by believing in Him, repenting of our sins, confessing His name, and being baptized, we can be washed. Our sins can be washed away. We can be added even this morning to that family of God where brothers and sisters care for one another, who love each other, and want everybody to go to heaven. If you're a child of God and you haven't been living right, ask God to forgive you. Ah, how many times has He forgiven me? How many times has He forgiven you? He's promised if we confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then, let's get busy. Those who are out, who no longer work and serve the Lord, and you know about them, do everything in your power. Let's join together, praying for them, working in service. Send them a card. Send an email. Send anything that will help them, to encourage them and lift them up. And let's do what we can to restore our brother, because we believe what James says. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that when you convert the sinner from the error of his way, you shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Subject to the invitation of Jesus. Won't you obey Him? He's here. He's waiting. He's inviting. We're praying. we can help you in any way. Come now while together we stand.